This is Pastor Emery. Most Americans who celebrate the holiday called Christmas on December 25th do so thinking this is a Christian holiday that has been handed down to us by Christians from ages past. How many know that the first Christians in America, the Puritans and the Pilgrims, did not celebrate Christmas? They called it a pagan holiday. How many know that Christmas was not accepted by most churches in America until well into the 19th century, and it did not become a legal holiday until a little over 100 years ago? How many know the first American Christmas card was printed in 1840, and that Santa Claus, as we think of him today, was not commonly known in America until about the 1880s? In fact, the first United States president to observe the Christmas holiday in the White House was Grover Cleveland in 1891, less than 100 years ago. No, Christmas is not an ancient Christian holiday. However, it is an ancient pagan holiday, now widely insinuated into what used to be Christian America. This is the second broadcast on Christmas in America. Later in the broadcast, I am going to read Santa Claus's description in the Holy Bible. Yes, Santa is in the Bible. First, in a newspaper recently appeared a letter to the editor about Santa Claus, which said in part, quote, "Christmas began to lose its magic the moment I noticed that Santa Claus was wearing my father's shoes. When I approached my parents with this discovery, they laughed and told me it was time for us to have a little talk. 10 minutes later, I hated them both. They told me there was no Santa Claus. It had been my father all along. Afterwards, I stood before the Christmas tree, staring into its overdressed branches, wishing they were wrong, but they were not," end of quote. Yes, little children are devastated when they lose that total trust they had in Daddy and Mommy, and they lose it the first time they find out their parents have deliberately lied to them. Here is a quote from my booklet, Is Christmas Christian? This is the booklet I will send you free when you write. This incident actually happened, and I tell it in the booklet, quote, "A few days before the publication of this booklet, while in a local store, I overheard a mother tell of her little boy catching her and her husband putting the gifts under the tree. She said, he saw us and began to cry, shouting, 'You lied to me, you lied to me,' and ran back to his room crying. She was laughing as she told this story, for she thought his tears were only over losing Santa Claus. What she may never realize was he had just lost his trust in his father and his mother. That little boy will never forget that night. He will never again trust his parents as he had before. God alone knows how much evil is wrought by Christmas." End of quote. That is on page 30 of my 31-page booklet titled, Is Christmas Christian? Most of what you heard last week and what you will hear today and next week is in this 32-page booklet. Many of you Christian parents have perhaps never realized that your little children accept much of what you say about your church, about Jesus Christ, and about the Bible, not because they understand all of those mystical doctrines, but because you are their parent and they believe you are telling them the truth. If you also tell them there is a Santa Claus, and then one day when they are about 4 or 5 or 6 years of age, they find out it is all a lie, it would not be strange if they began to distrust what you had said about Jesus and about the Bible also. One minister wrote a tract on Santa Claus in which he told this story of two little boys. The one who had just learned that Santa Claus was not a real person told his little playmate about it, and then he added, "Yes, and I'm going to look into this Jesus Christ business too." Can that be Christian, to bring doubt and mistrust into the minds of little children? Christmas could not do that if it were really a part of Christianity. But it is not. It is pagan. It is darkness. It is darkness and not light, and darkness is the fruit of the falsehood of Christmas. Here is an admonition from another minister, this man from North Carolina. Quote, Christmas today is no more than a mass confusion of senseless buying, commercialized by the moneymakers, dominated by the world, and paganized by the so-called church of our day, with Santa in the center of it all. Therefore, as Christians, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. He quoted 1 Corinthians 10:21, and then urged his congregation no longer to celebrate this heathen day. I have in front of me a rather long newspaper article with the heading, Early Americans Frowned on Christmas. I'll read just the first part of it, and then we'll reprint it and include it in our Christmas packet and send it to all who write. Here is the first part. It's by the Associated Press. Quote, in rustic English, the straight-laced Puritans of the Massachusetts Bay Colony solemnly outlawed that most notorious of sacrilegious celebrations, Christmas. And then this is a direct quote from the General Court Statute of Massachusetts Bay Colony of 1659. For preventing disorders arising in several places within this jurisdiction, by reason of some still observing such festivals as were superstitiously kept in other countries to the great dishonor of God and offense of others, it is therefore ordered by this court and the authority thereof that whosoever shall be found observing any such day as Christmas or the like, either by forbearing labor, feasting, or any other way, every such person so offending shall pay for every such offense 5 shillings, end of quote from the law. And then the article goes on. Outlawed in England from 1647 to 1660 under Oliver Cromwell, Christmas found no refuge in New England. Governor William Bradford wrote of the Pilgrims' first American Christmas in 1620, quote, Monday the 25th day we went on shore, some to fell timber, some to saw, some to rive, and some to carry, so no man rested all that day. In the booklet, Is Christmas Christian?, I also point out that Governor Bradford deliberately ordered the Christians to work on that day lest they be accused of celebrating that pagan Christmas holiday. A little further in the article where the writer tells about Christmas being celebrated by the people of the Anglican Church in Virginia, he then says this, Colonial Puritans, Baptists, Quakers, and Presbyterians, finding no scriptural sanction of Christmas, but plenty of pagan precedent in the December Saturnalias of Rome, steadfastly opposed its observance, end of quote. Did you Baptists, Quakers, and Presbyterians hear that? The founders of your denominational religion in colonial America refused to celebrate that so-called Christmas holiday. Here is another quote. This is from Charles Spurgeon's Treasury of David. Spurgeon is quoted quite often by modern preachers. I wonder if they'll quote this one from him. Quote, Obedience is to direct our worship, not whim and sentiment. God's appointment gives a solemnity to rites and times which no ceremonial pomp or hierarchical ordinance could confer. We will keep such feasts as the Lord appoints, but not those which Rome or Canterbury may ordain. When it can be proved that the observance of Christmas, Whitsuntide, and other popish festivals was ever instituted by a divine statute, we also will attend to them, but not until then. It is as much our duty to reject the traditions of men as to observe the ordinances of the Lord, end of quote, by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He was one of England's greatest Christian preachers. Here is another about the pilgrims from the book Saints and Strangers. Quote, Work began in earnest on Monday, December 25th, which was Christmas, of course, but that made no difference to the pilgrims, for they scorned Christmas as a human invention, another Roman corruption, a survival from heathen days, as indeed it was. One of the Christian pilgrims wrote an apology in which he took the Dutch to task for many things. They were not true Christians, he informed them, and never would be until they ceased celebrating Christmas. There was no warrant for it in the Scripture. End of quote from Saints and Strangers. Many Bible students know of Arthur W. Pink. Arthur W. Pink was probably one of the 20th century's most prolific Christian writers. many, many books written on Bible doctrine to his credit. Here is a paragraph from his tract titled Xmas, that's X-M-A-S. Quote, "Our final word is to the pastors. To you the word of the Lord is, be thou an example of believers in word, in deportment, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." 1 Timothy 4:12. "Is it not true that the most corrupt churches you know of, where almost every fundamental of the faith is denied, will have their Christmas celebration? Will you imitate them? Are you consistent to protest against unscriptural methods of raising money and then to sanction unscriptural Christmas services? Seek grace to firmly but lovingly set God's truth on this subject before your people and announce that you can have no part in following pagan, Romish, and worldly customs." End of quote. By Arthur W. Pink in his tract on Xmas. If you would like a further study of the religion of Baal worship, I preached a series of four sermons in my church several years ago titled, "There Are Disciples of Baal in America." That study on the disciples of Baal is strong meat. Some of you may not like it, for some doctrines of the ancient Baal religion may be taught in your church and presented to you as Bible doctrine. One example of an ancient Baal doctrine taught in many churches today is the one that most humans will spend eternity in a torturing and tormenting fire called hell by the preachers. That doctrine is not Christian. It has no foundation in Bible truth. Its origin goes back to Baal worship in Babylon. The rituals of Christmas, Santa Claus, the tree, the burning of candles, the exchange of gifts, and so on, which I am covering on this radio series, is only one example of a Baal ritual which you are told is Christian. All right, back to my own book on Christmas titled Is Christmas Christian? And I had said we would discuss Santa Claus, and all of this information is in this booklet about Santa Claus. Santa Claus, that jolly old fellow who appears once a year and then only to do good by bringing toys and games to good little children. Is that all there is to Santa? No, my Christian friend, it is not. Although you may not believe in evolution, Santa, as we know him today, is a product of evolution. Let us trace his origin from the ancient times. In Egypt, where the mother and child were worshipped, the father god was known as Khons or Konos. The name means huntsman or god of the chase, and scholars have identified him as the Nimrod of Genesis 10, the mighty hunter, the builder of Babel or Babylon. This huntsman is represented in both Babylon and Egypt as a half-man and half-bull, and also half-man and half-horse, or the center of mythology. He is usually depicted with wings and called Baal Abiram, or the Winged One. He is called the Omnipotent One and also the Unknown One, giving him the unknowable qualities that left him in the background of the mother and the child. He would be, of course, the unknown god of Acts 17:23, which was worshipped in Athens when Paul was there. Over the centuries, this image evolved into more human form, usually clothed in a leopard skin, signifying his hunting prowess over the swiftest of animals. This spotted garment became the mark of kings and priests in Africa and Asia. The priests of Bacchus in Greece were clothed in leopard skins, later adopting the spotted skin of a young fawn or dyeing their robes to look like the spotted fawn. This spotted deer seems to have been adopted as combining both the spots of the leopard and the bull or the calf of idol worship. In Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, and of course the capital of Baal worship, statues of Nimrod or Baal show him wearing a spotted deer skin, or in some cases, carrying a spotted deer. And of course, now we are getting close to Santa Claus. In the book, which you will receive in the mail, Is Christmas Christian, we have reproduced an ancient drawing or carving of Nimrod or Baal. The similarity to Santa Claus can plainly be seen. This Nimrod has a long, flowing white beard, ornate dress. He is carrying a spotted reindeer with horns in his arm. In his left hand, he is carrying a green fir tree, which of course would be the Christmas tree, and he has wings, which give him power to fly through the air, just as Santa Claus does. They also have reproduced a drawing of the Greek god Bacchus, and the similarity is certain. Bacchus does not carry the spotted deer, but he is clothed in a spotted robe, and he carries a tree of unknown origin in his left hand, and the cup, the symbol of drunken revelry, so great a part of the Christmas holiday. The true God has not left believers without testimony of the actual identity of this false God. He is described in the Bible, and three names are given him, so we can know who he is. You can find part of this in Isaiah 14, verses 12, 13, and 14, where the king of Babylon, or the Assyrian, is described. Since the Nimrod of Genesis 10 is the founder of both Babylon and Assyria, these verses, of course, speak of Nimrod, alias Baal. The third name in that passage is Lucifer. Let us briefly analyze this king of Babylon, or this Nimrod, or this Baal, or this Lucifer, whose destruction is prophesied from verse 4 through verse 27 of Isaiah 14. Verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" His origin here seems to be the heavens, and his activities prior to his destruction weakens the nations. In other words, it injures people. Verse 13, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." His desire is to be above all things, to have a throne even above God. Santa Claus in the department stores is usually seated on a throne, and little children are required to come up to him to solicit his good favor. He will also be found in the congregation, or in the church of God. In the churches of today, most churches bringing in the worship of this Santa, this symbol of Baal in some way. Even the direction of the abode of this Lucifer or Baal is given in this passage as being north. Santa Claus is supposed to reside at the North Pole or in the regions of the north. Verse 14, this Nimrod or Baal or Lucifer speaks, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High." We are told Santa comes to every home, flying through the air with his reindeer and sleigh. And what does he do? He comes bringing gifts to little boys and little girls. The phrase, "I will be like the Most High," should have an ominous ring to believers. It means he intends to usurp God's glory, God's praise, to actually take the place of God in the hearts of men. This Santa Claus does that in the hearts and minds of untold millions of little children every year, as both wicked and foolish adults tell the children of the good things that Santa, not God, but Santa, will bring them as a reward for being good. For most of these children, the true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, then never becomes as real to them as Santa Claus was when they were a child. He, Lucifer, Nimrod, Baal, or whatever name you call him, has become like the Most High. In my booklet, Is Christmas Christian?, I have reproduced an answer by Billy Graham, published in a newspaper on January 25, 1971. The question was, what should Sunday school teachers tell their pupils about Santa? Billy Graham's answer is quite long. I'll read only part of it. He says this, "Little children must have difficulty separating the two, and this is unfortunate. I have talked to people who, as children, found out that Santa was a myth and dismissed Christ as a myth, too." That article is in our book, Is Christmas Christian? Let's study this feature of Isaiah 14 a little further. To truly be like the Most High, it would make sense that Santa, alias Baal, alias Nimrod, alias the king of Babylon, alias the Assyrian, and alias Lucifer, would try to look like God, And he does, for we have a description of God Almighty in the Holy Bible. Part of it is in these verses, Daniel 7, verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and that would be red, and his wheels as burning fire. Turn with me to Revelation 1, where John has a vision of God Almighty in heaven. We'll begin reading in verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. That's Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Yes, Santa, the counterfeit God, who appears to do good even as God, and who comes to us with white hair and beard, sparkling eyes, and a deep, low laugh, as he deceives all nations and kindreds and tongues. He truly is Saint Nick, old Nick himself, Satan in disguise. Even his name is but a corruption of the word Satan, yet how few seem to suspect it, or do they know and approve? Do you need more convincing that Christmas has many of its origins in Baal worship? If you do, then tune in again next week as, God willing, we continue the study of this strange holiday called Christmas. My Christian brethren, I read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial or Baal? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Next week, God willing, we will discuss the Christmas tree, and I will show you where it was used in pagan worship in the Bible. We will discuss candles connected with Mystery Babylon, Mother of Harlots and Abominations of the Earth. Even the ritual of exchanging gifts is mentioned in the Bible, and it is anti-Christian. God willing, I will read those passages to you in this series on Christmas in America. This is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.